World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I appreciate y'all coming in here today. I want you to know that I really do. I really do. This is really different. This is really a different show. I don't know any show. Maybe they are. I don't mean it to sound like that way. That calls people to action more than this one. And, you know, some of you haven't seen this in a while. I always keep this in front of my desk. Spencer, I don't know if you can zoom in on this. That's it. Probably can't. I always keep this in front of my desk. My right here. It sits right on front underneath my microphone every day, so I'm reminded that that's the American Christian. Head knowledge, stick body, stick man, right? We got all this information, all this knowledge we know about hermeneutics and chionomics and tomonomics and 17 ways why the rapture is going to be here in 17 days, and we got a little body because we don't do anything. We don't do anything. And so I keep this reminded here that what I'm asking people to do, they don't tend to want to do it. They'd rather study, they'd rather get more head knowledge than actually do anything about it. And Jesus told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. He didn't say go into all the world and study end time prophecy and 17 ways to get saved. And it isn't about that, friends. And I hang my hat on you guys. I hang my hat on Dave Allison and Randy Lunsford and Craig Mickle and Jeff Klein. And I could run down to Betty Perkins, and I'm looking at the names who are out there actually doing stuff, not going to conferences and hearing about it. Although I'm going to a conference this week. I want to throw it up here real quick. Bear with me if you would. Stay Awake America Tour. Michelle and I will be in Knoxville this weekend. Just go ahead and play this too. Folks, look, it has live streaming. I know somebody can't go to. You can't go to Knoxville. I understand that. Just real quickly, go ahead and play that.
Hi, Patriots. An event you don't want to miss, only 7 days away, the Stay Awake America Tour in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Patriot Church. It's going to be an electrifying event with featuring Casper McCloud's Rockin' for Christ Christian rock band. And then Saturday night, we're going to have the up-and-coming Christian country star, Dylan Jarvis and the Casper McCloud band. Oh, and also there's going to be 22 national speakers on the stage. What's the Stay Awake America Tour, you ask? Well, we are a movement going across the nation by faith, all for the glory of God, for the mission to unite, engage, and activate local action for national impact. It's imperative that everybody gets in the fight. We can't win. We can't restore our republic unless each and every one of you joins in. You all know with your personal relationship with Christ, if you're doing what you're called to do. And we're called to bring the Stay Awake America Tour to your city. So join us. Go to thestayawakeamerica.com. Buy your tickets. If you can't make it, then get a streaming link. For $9.99, you can use Stay Awake America STRE for $9.99 coupon, and pay it forward. Support us by buying a ticket. And then we're having a raffle. So we're raffling off for one of the $39 tickets, general admission, can't come, pay it forward, but still get in the raffle because we're raffling off a Flynn lock. Go to flynnlock.com to see the 21st century replica of a Flynn lock. So join us at the Stay Awake America Tour, August 29th and 30th in Knoxville, Tennessee. Can't wait to see
all
you
right,
there.
Hey, God bless. I'll be speaking at, 11 o'clock. You can live stream if you want to. 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Stay Awake America Tour. Thanks, Amy. Thanks for all you're doing. I'm going to tell you this. There ain't nobody doing what we're doing here at Coach Dave Live. Somebody, Vinny, they tell me quit saying boom. So I won't say it. Somebody say boom. There ain't nobody doing the things that you folks are doing. And I want to acknowledge that. And I appreciate it. Betty Perkins' life has changed since she's been in here. Dave Allison. Boom. I could go on and on and on and on. And can I tell you the truth? Most conferences, people want, where is it? They want head knowledge. They don't want to get involved. They just want to know what's going on around them so they can be ready for the rapture. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for that boom. So, okay, I got that out of me. Got that. I feel really bad because yesterday, hey, you don't want to go away, man. We had a great show yesterday with Fritz, but I forgot to do Proverbs yesterday. I don't want to forget it today. Pull up Proverbs 26. Who's going to read Proverbs 26 for me today? Huh? Who's going to read that for me today? Again, the wisdom of the Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. If there wasn't anything else, I'd believe the Bible just because of the profundity that you read when you read the Proverbs. And the Psalms, too, by the way. Who's going to read it for me? Come on, somebody.
I got it.
Big moment. Who said that?
Steve.
Do it, Steve. You're our man. Steve. He's our man.
As snow in summer and as rain in the harvest, so honor is not seemly for fool.
Well, think about that. Hang on. Hey, just think about that right there, right? There ain't no snow in summer. There ain't no rain in the harvest. And there's no honor among a fool. This is so deep. Go ahead, Steve.
As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come.
Wow.
A whip of the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Mm. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou shall be like unto him.
Hang on, Steve. That's what somebody told me a long time ago. Don't get in a peeing contest with a skunk. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is walk away. Go ahead, Steve.
Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own consent. He that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of a lamb are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he biteth a stone in a sling, so is he who giveth honor to a fool.
Wow. Don't put a stone in the sling slot and wrap it up so it can't come out. And stop giving honor to fool.
As a thorn goeth up in the hand of a drunkard, so is the parable in the mouths of fool. The great God.
Are you getting the stream here? Quit arguing with the dunces. Quit wasting your time trying to convince the ignorant. Go ahead.
The great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewarded the transgressors.
Amen.
As a dog returned to his vomit, so is a fool returned to his folly. Seeth that a man wise in his own conceit is more hope of a fool than of him.
Wow.
The slothful man says there's a lion in the way and a lion is in the streets.
So the slothful man always has a reason why he can't do it. There's a lion laying out there. Might get me.
As the door turneth open his hinges, so does the sloth upon his bed.
Mm.
The slothful hidden in his hand in his bosom is grieving him to bring it again to his mouth.
Unbelievable. This is so good. Now, folks, are you picking up the theme? Slothful means lazy. Sluggard means lazy. The lazy man hides his hand in his bosom and grieves him to have to even bring it up to his mouth. He's so damn lazy. Go ahead.
The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passes by meddleth his with strife belong not to him is like one that has taken the dog by the ears.
That's a good picture, isn't it? Huh?
Oh, my goodness.
That's when you try to argue about something you don't know nothing about.
as a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceived his neighbor and said, I'm not in the sport.
Mm.
Where no wood is, there is fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceases.
Shut your mouth and quit being a tail bearer. It's like, don't feed the fire. Go ahead.
As coals are to burning coals, to wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife.
You guys ain't know a contentious man that like to create strife? I know a lot of them. Keep going.
The words of a tailbearer are as wounds, and they go down unto the innermost parts of the belly.
The worst thing is people saying stuff about you that you don't even know it, and you can't cover it, and then other people are believing it. It's a tailbearer.
Burning lips and our wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross.
Mm.
He that has disassembled with his...
He that hateth
dissembled with his lips and layeth up deceit within him.
That's right. You hate somebody and you just tear him down with your lips. That's all. You lie about them, tear him down with your lips. Yep.
And when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart.
Wow.
Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shrewd before the whole congregation.
Wow. Hatred covered by deceit. He hates you, so he lies about you. Wow.
Whose diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him.
Praise the Lord, baby, huh? You reap what you sow.
The lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin.
Wow, a lying tongue and a flattering tongue, neither one are good, baby. Neither one are good. Thanks, Steve. Proverbs, what is today? 26, Proverbs 26. Lauren, jump in here quickly. I got someplace I'm going. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to comment on what you had said. I appreciate that you are a coach, not like a shepherd, but you're a coach that smells like the locker room and smells like the field.
Yeah.
All sweaty, all on the battlefield. You make sure that the team goes out with their uniform on, with all the pads, with their jerseys, with their cleats, everything that they need to do. So you lace up your cleats, right? You put on your shoulder pads, you put on your jersey, and that's what you do. And because you smell like us, that's the whole reason. And when you go to speak, coach,
that's right.
You know, you go to speak for all of us. You're not there for the platform. All the rest of them are there for the entertainment and to be the platform and say, hey, look at me. You're like, hey, no, this is it. And I want to encourage you to do this. And this is the way that it is. So I want to thank you that you smell sweaty. You smell like us. Amen. And you want to be like us. And you're encouraging us to do the best that we can do. So Amen. Whether you're a tight end, you're a quarterback, you're a kicker, you're on the special teams, it doesn't matter. We all matter. And you look at us and do that. And your assistant coach is Michelle. So thank you.
Amen.
That you smell sweaty, like the locker room.
Good word, Laura. I do smell like the troops for sure. And again, I salute the guys. Ray LeBlanc is tearing it up in Wisconsin. I can't go to Wisconsin. He's tearing it up in Wisconsin. Folks, it ain't about me. Right? It ain't about me. I'm a coach. I don't carry the ball. I don't throw the ball. I don't tackle anybody. I don't block punts. I don't kick field goals. I don't do anything. But I get the ball to those who can. And if you're out there doing something, I'm willing to help you. I'll do whatever I can, whether it be resources, yada, yada, yada. By the way, let me say this. Donations are down this month. I'm just going to say that. Why won't you? For the life of me, can't figure out why some of you are not consistent. $10, $20 a month. I just, for the life of me, I don't get it. Anyway, let's move on here.
Wait, Coach, and one more thing. And your playbook is the word of God. And look at the impact, because I love Betty. Like, she's my heart. Okay. Look at the impact that you made with Betty. Look at the impact you made on this single mom. Amen. And you're making an impact on my daughter and everybody else here.
Amen.
And then there, we're all going out making an impact. Not everybody's saying what they're doing. But look at how much Betty is opened up and she's able to receive love, give love, because you coached her.
Amen.
Like, we're all like that. So thank you.
But I coached her, but she said, put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I'm ready. Put me in. I don't know how to play, coach, but put me in. That's what I want to do. I want, thanks, Lord. Everybody quit patting me on the back. Everybody's patting me on the back. Give me 10 bucks. Put 10 bucks in there today. Just go to Coach Dave Live. Put 10 bucks in. It wouldn't be that hard. Come on. It wouldn't be that hard. So look, here's what I want to keep staking, man. Keep staking. That's what I'm going to talk about this weekend when I'm in Knoxville. I'll be in Knoxville this weekend. So I'm going to talk about the rocks and what we're trying to do with that. Because okay, so are you ready? You all sitting down? I'm going to ask this question as we get ready to roll here. Who told you that? And why do you believe it? Who told you that? And I apply that to just about everything in my life. Who told you that? And why do you believe that? And, you know, I think the truth be told, it's tradition, tradition, tradition. And traditions are okay, but not if they don't advance the kingdom today. And so many are tied to our traditions, or can I say it, our theology. I want to take you on a little bit of a pull up number. Did you like Fritz yesterday? Wait, I get L.A. Marzulli. By the way, pull up L.A. Marzulli, number 4. If you guys have never spent time on L.A. Marzulli's website, he will give you more and more information about all this supernatural stuff that we're talking about. Folks, this stuff is more real than the paper that's sitting in front of you. This stuff is so real. Now, I could get L.A. on there. Here's what I'm trying to do in my mind. I'm going to get L.A. and Fritz. We're going to do another mound conference here. And I'm going to take people around, show them exactly what's going on so they understand the lies that they've been told. Put this in the chat, lamarzulli.com. Unbelievable stuff that you're going to find from L.A. Verifying everything that we heard yesterday, okay? So this is more, because some of you haven't even heard. Can you believe, if you were to walk into the average church and talk about the Nephilim giants, what do you think would be the reaction? You don't have to answer. That's kind of a rhetorical question. Most people wouldn't even know what the heck you're talking about. The Nephilim giants wouldn't even know. And they certainly wouldn't know about, I got to go there. Hang on, it's going to be good for you. Some of you are going to get mad. Go away. Say, I'm making fun of you. Pull up number. there it is. Number 2. Pull up number 2. Pull up number 2. You ever guys ever heard of extra biblical texts? Hang on. No, so go back, Spencer. Go back. I'm going to show you another one. Go to McGuffey Readers. It's right under one. McGuffey Readers. No. I got an even better one. Stay right there. That'll be good, but don't do that. Go to eighth grade test, 1895. In schools in America in 1895, they weren't teaching transgenderism. They weren't teaching homosexuality. They weren't teaching. What were they teaching in the schools in 1865? Scroll down, Spence. Scroll down. Hang on right there, because I'm going to tell you something. It's the same thing in the church. It's the exact same thing in the church. Okay, here was grammar. Here was a test, 1895. Give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. Can anybody do that? No. Name the parts of speech and define those that have no modifications. Define verse, stanza, and paragraph. What are the principal parts of a verb? Give principal parts of do, lie, lay, and run. Anybody do that? Define case. Illustrate each case. What is punctuation? Give rules for principal marks of punctuation. 1895, public schools. 7, number 10, write a composition of about 150 words and show therein that you understand the practical use of the rules of grammar. How about, let's do a little bit of math in 1895. Name and define the fundamental rules of arithmetic. A wagon box is 2 foot deep, 10 feet long, 3 feet wide. How many bushels of wheat will it hold? If a load of wheat weighs 3,942 pounds, what is it worth at 50 cents per bushel, deducting 1050 pounds for tare? District number 33 has a valuation of 35,000. What's the necessary levy to carry on schools 7 months at 50 per month and have 104 for incident? Huh? Let's go to history. Most of you would be flunked. You wouldn't even be able to do it. 1895. Give the epochs into which U.S. history is divided. Give an account of the discovery of America by Columbus. Relate the causes and results of the Revolutionary War. Show the territorial growth of the United States. Tell what you can of the history of Kansas or Ohio. Describe three of the most prominent battles of the rebellion. Who were the following? Morse, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe. Name events connected with the following dates, 1607, 1620, 1800, 1849, and 1865. Well, let's go to orthography. Orthography. You don't even know that word. You don't even know what orthography is. What is meant by the following alphabet, phonetic orthography, etymology, syllabication? What are elementary sounds and how are they classified? What are the following and give examples of a trigraph, subvocals, diphthong, cognate letters, linguals. Give four substitutes for caret ara. Give two rules for spelling words with a final a. Name two exceptions. Are you kidding me? Go to geography real quick. I'm going someplace this morning. What is climate? And upon what does climate depend? How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Well, what use are rivers? Of what use is the ocean? Describe the mountains of North America. Name and describe the following. Monrovia, Odessa, Denver, Manitoba, Hecla, Yukon, St. Henry. What? Are you kidding me? What? Well, let's go to physiology real quick, because most of you flunked right now. Most of you be held back. What are the saliva, gastric juice, and bile secreted? What is the use of each in digestion? How does nutrition reach the circulation? What is the function of liver of the kidneys? Can a man be born in a woman's body? Can a man give birth? For some reason, give the general directions that you would think would be beneficial to preserve the human body in a state of health. Somebody go, duh, not boom, duh, duh, duh. So the question Coach Dave always likes to ask is, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? And think about what we're teaching in school today compared to what we taught in school in 1895 or whenever this thing was. Was it 1895? Okay, I'm not done. Pull up McGuffey readers. Anybody remember the McGuffey readers? You know this, the first act of duty of President George Washington when he became president was to give Bibles to the schools. Did you guys know that? Of course you didn't know that. You didn't know that. Is that what you came up with? That wasn't what I wanted. I don't know what you got up. That's all. It's talking about the McGuffey Reader. Okay, I'm sorry. The McGuffey Reader. This was the book every American child learned. Go ahead and play it.
Learning to read is one of the most important and basic skills we're taught. Today, there are probably hundreds of books, programs, and apps that help teach children the ABCs. But years ago, there were only a few tools to teach the importance of reading. And many of our ancestors can credit their reading skills to a man named McGuffey. In the early 1800s, one-room schoolhouses like this often held upwards of 40 students, ranging in age from 6 to 16 years old. And for most children on the frontier, books of any kind were hard to come by, especially children's books. That changed when this man wrote a series of textbooks called McGuffey's Readers, which created a template for children to learn to read and for teachers to teach.
McGuffey Readers were written by William Holmes McGuffey, beginning in 1836, and the last of the six readers was written in 1857.
I took a step back in time with Jeannie Miller, curator of domestic life, at the Henry Ford Museum of American Innovation in Detroit to learn more.
Was that the sole purpose, to teach kids how to read?
Well, McGuffey thought it was important to not only teach kids how to read in a standardized way, but he also wanted to teach them morals or virtues. So a lot of the stories teach about honesty, about
thrift.
Okay,
put that in the chat. McGuffey wanted to teach the children morals and virtues. So they chose to do it through education of the young. By the way, what kind of books are they using today in the schools? Put in the chat. I don't have time to play it all. The new McGuffey readers, folks. They taught Christian values to every child in America. The greatest lie in America, I'd be saying a lot, maybe in my life, one of the greatest is the idea that our greatest strength is diversity. Folks, football coach, diversity is the worst thing. It's the worst thing that can happen on a team. Everybody doing the same thing. That's why they get in a huddle. They call a play. And then there's diversity of blockers and diversity of duties that everybody has to do, but they're all pushing for the same direction. And in America today, that's what's happened with Cracker Barrel. They want to feature everything that divides us. Everything that divides us is what they focus on. Diversity is division, and it is destroying America. Okay, hang on. I got to get rolling here. Okay, so look, I got to show you this. I'm going to open it up. I loved Fritz yesterday. I love Fritz. Fritz is not maybe, has a different way of communicating, right? But what he knows is unbelievable. And that's why I showed you L.A. Marzulli. Put that back up again. If your interest was piqued yesterday, go watch a few L.A. Marzulli videos. I'm going to tell you really what happened, what all this stuff is about spiritually, okay? We'll get L.A. and I'll get him on here. I get him on. He used to live on the West Coast. Then they had the big one. Well, anyway, he doesn't. Okay, so hang on. You ready? Are you sitting down? I'm going to make everyone of you say, we love you, coach. We love you, coach. You don't have to say it. Although you can. You don't have to say it. Love you, coach. Love you, coach. All right? Because what I'm going to bring is going to piss some of you off. Just tell me. Going to piss some of you off. Would you all agree with me that the schools have changed since the McGuffey reader? Would everybody agree with that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but I think you probably would agree that everything's changed since 1865 or whatever, when they were doing the McGuffey readers. I think so. It's all changed. Education to where it is. Yeah, coach, it's all changed. Okay. All right, well, let me ask you this. Pull up number two. How about this? 17 books removed from the Bible. Hang on. Who removed them? What? Bible says that I believe it. That settles it. Okay, I get it. You don't believe in, you mean to tell me I couldn't read the book of Enoch? Let's say it wasn't in the Bible. Let's say they didn't put it in the Bible. But you mean I couldn't glean some history from the book of Enoch, even though it wasn't really the Bible? Is the only thing you read in your life the Bible? Do you ever Google on anything? Do you ever get on the phone with another podcaster? Or are you just a Jesus-only person when it comes to the Bible? When it comes to Christianity, I don't listen to I don't listen to anybody but the Bible. That's a lie. So who decided that these 17 books would be removed? Somebody out there, make me feel good, say, coach, I didn't know this. I didn't know this, coach. Who put together the King James? By the way, they changed education in two generations. In two generations, they changed education. What do you suppose they've done to religion in two generations? Okay, so are you ready to sit down? I'm going to open it up. What are the books that they've removed? Scroll on down, Spence. Scroll on down. Go to number one. It'll pop up. Number one. Here we go. The Apocrypha. You know what the Apocrypha was. Okay. Here's books that are not in the canon. Okay. Now, it's okay. But were they historical? Did it give you some idea what was going on around the book of Judith and Tobit, Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2 and the Wisdom of Solomon? Oh, look. Why wasn't Judith in there? Oh, because it was written later and it's Greek. And Tobit wasn't because it was written in Greek. And they were concerned about how late it was written. Maccabees was not written, it wasn't in Hebrew. Maccabees, it wasn't. Maccabees 2, it wasn't written in Hebrew. How could they put it in the Bible? Wisdom of Solomon was written in Greek. And nobody really knew who it came from. Cyric, later composition. Baruch, written in Greek. They weren't really sure who did it. Additions to Esther, Greek additions in the Hebrew text. Okay, so look. So we said these 66 books. This is it. This is all of it. But would any of these books be a historical reference for what was going on? What do you think, Ricky Blackburn? Would that be a historical reference? Maybe not God's word, but kind of a newspaper report of what was going on at the time. Could that be? So here's some more. Scroll down here. 80. These are books that are part of the Apocrypha. Judith tells the whole story of Jewish widow. Tobit. Folks, historical. I don't care if you want to believe it is God's word. Historical. Go on down. We're going to do it fast. And I'll put it in the chat. Go on. Oh, Maccabees 1. Go on. Come on. Maccabees 2. Wisdom of Solomon. Sirach. Never heard of it. Baruch. Hmm? Additions to Esther. Additions to Daniel. Keep going. Historical, not God's word, but historical. Whoa. Epistles of Barnabas, Shepherds of Hermas, Acts of Paul, Gospel of Peter, Apocalypse of Peter, Diracci, First Clement, Gospels according to Hebrews. Do you guys know this? Did you guys know that all these books are out here? Historical references, maybe not Bible, but kind of like the newspaper report of the day of what was going on. And as we continue our exploration of books removed from the Bible, let's take a brief look at the summaries of the early Christian writings that were once considered to be canonized by different communities in the Roman Empire. What? Epistle of Barnabas? Shepherd of Hermas? Had moral teachings in it. Acts of Paul? Gospel of Peter? What's about this? Gospel of Peter? Apocalypse of Peter? The Didache? Teaching the 12 disciples? First Clement? The Gospel according to Hebrews? Conclusion. I'm not going to read their conclusion. I'm going to ask you this. Who told you that? And so we sit here and see what they have done just to our read, just to the books we teach our children in two generations, what might have happened to Christianity over many generations. Tradition. What was that? Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, Christian tradition. Come on in, Mark Trump. I'm going to shut up for
you. This is just an amazing exposure of truth because of everyone's fascination, worship of a certain set of pages. Now, again, pages, Coach. Before yep. there were books, there were pages. Those pages were on shelves before there were books.
Mm.
Okay, so the whole idea that a certain canon is just beyond me because it didn't exist before Luke wrote it. It didn't exist, Coach. Then Luke wrote it. There were pages. Now, those weren't with any other pages. They were Luke's. Now, when did Luke and Mark get together and stick their pages together, Coach?
I don't.
Who are we to decide the Maccabees pages, which made it through generations, right?
How about the Book of Giants, Mark?
How about the Book of Enoch? Look, they were pages, and people worshipped and kept them and took care of them the same way, whether it was Paul or whoever. And then all of a sudden, King James has these scholars that decides which pages.
Yep.
That is so unfair and such a deception, Coach.
Mark, it's like playing, remember, did you guys used to play it? What was it called? Phone book, whatever it was. You sat in a circle and you said it to the person beside you. By the time you got clear on the
changes.
Circle, it changes.
And it changes. It changes, Coach. So think about the deception. Think about, this is the Bible. You know, you don't need to know about archangels. You don't need to know about dragons. You don't need to know about Everyone's giants. Wondering how the giants made it past, but look, they corrupted the beast of the sea. Says it right in the Bible. So how in the world do you flood giants in the sea? How do you do that?
Mark,
I don't know. Y'all think that reptile men, half reptile, half beast, half man made it? What do Martians look like, reptile men? It's like all of this stuff is right in front of us, and we still go, oh, how giants make it? Well, Ham's maybe the wives.
Yeah, there were giants. Mark.
What about all of the ocean creatures that were Nephilim? They survived, Coach. So all of these truths are blatantly in our face, and they've covered them up. The Bible's a big one. The Bible's a big one, Coach.
Well, I'm telling. What Dead Sea Scrolls? What did they find in the Dead Sea Scrolls, folks? What did they find? They found more biblical canon, although they don't call it canon.
Boom.
Huh?
Amen.
Hey, Spencer, pull up Book of the Giants. Did you guys know this? Did you know there's a Book of the Giants? Huh? It was for years and years and years. It was part of Christianity. Book of Giants, the secret history of the. What? Why are the. But scroll down, man, Spence. There it is. Book of the Giants. I was trying to read that there. The Book of the Giants is an apocryphal text. It's a in other words, of the antediluvian before the flood. Book of Giants is before the flood. Its characters include Enoch, several giants, and the plot deals with the sinful state of the world before the flood. The Book of Giants was considered official scripture and Manichaeism, but it is not God's inspired word. And although it draws from the canonical Book of Genesis, the Book of Giants is not inerrant, nor is it reliable history. Okay, so some news reporter wrote the Book of Giants of what was going on. They said, well, that wasn't really officially the word of God. Okay, it wasn't. But the Book of Giants has similar content to another pseudo-biographical Jewish book called the Book of Enoch. Huh? Oh, yeah, fragments of the Aramaic copy of the Book of Giants was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Hey, folks, this makes us nervous, see? It makes us nervous to find extra biblical stuff that kind of shakes our spiritual equilibrium, if you know what I'm talking about. I want to know this stuff. Why don't we? They can get in a pulpit and tell you to read Rick Warren's books or somebody else's books, but don't read Enoch. Don't read that. No, right? Right? Remember, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So some of you right now are nervous. You say, Coach Dave's trying to add books to the Bible. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to read the Columbus Dispatch version of what's going on in the world. That's what I'm asking you to do. They're giving a historical context of what the Bible is telling us. You say, well, that's not the Word of God. Of course not. Is the only thing you read the Word of God? Huh? What? Do you read Darwin's, Origin of the Species? That's not the Word of God. Did you read that? You went into your school in seventh grade and you read your eighth grade Ohio history book? Was that all the Word of God? Oh, so you do read stuff that's not just the Word of God? A people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Here's the question of the day. Who told you that? Come on in, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. You know, my point is that the people that the Bible was written to read these books, you know, and a lot of them are referred to in the Bible itself. The Ethiopians resisted pressure from the Catholics to pare down their Bible. You know, it kind of reminds me, you were talking about the McGuffey reader. I mean, you can see just in that example over time that we no longer cover that information. So, I mean, right. I think the same thing. I mean, it's the same playbook, right? So I think once we start seeing these patterns, you know, we just need to discern and decide for ourselves, you know, what we should be reading. And then it creates that lens that we see the world through. But then again, we have to be careful that it's not just a bunch of head knowledge. Like, what are we going to do with that information? Thanks.
Amen. So Mel, it would be okay to say that I don't believe the Book of Enoch is established canon. Now, who did that? Who determined whether or not it was going to be established canon? I don't know that. But the Book of Enoch certainly is a good on the ground reporter of what was going on, whether or not it was true biblical truth. He's sure telling you what's going on. Book of Giants and the Book of Enoch and Maccabees, all this stuff. I'm not saying read them as the Bible. I'm not trying to destroy the Bible. I'm trying to say, look for evidence outside the Bible. See, that's why we're in the mess, because we have told our children You looking at me? Evolution is true. Darwin's origin of the species is more true than the book of Genesis. You're teaching that in your school. Right now, today, teaching that in your school. But you'll say, no, don't take it personally. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. And then you let them teach lies to your children. What is wrong with you? Me. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, so the, you know,
this show
the apostles, well, hey,
it does, this does, show yeah. Rock or what, huh?
You know, the apostles read these extra material, these extra yes. books, because why? Peter mentions Enoch, Jude mentions Enoch, so right. they read these extracurricular books, and that's how Enoch ended up in the Bible. So we shouldn't be afraid to read them. And here's the other thing. You know, Charles Jennings actually has an episode where he talks about how Paul went to Great Britain. And he talks about the evidence of that.
Amen.
And how many of us even know that?
Boy, oh boy. Charles Jennings, don't go there. Don't go there. Because he'll use extra biblical sources to explain. Oh, well, call me an anti-Semite if I say that. Any criticism of Israel or Jews is anti-Semitism. Do you know that? And you didn't know that, right? You criticize either one of those groups. Why? Why is that anti-Semitism? For me to question what they believe? I'm the life of me, I don't get it. Come on in, Betty.
Yeah, a great show.
They're all good.
Yes, they are. These books of the Bible, were they called Apocrypha after they were taken out of the Bible, or
look up that word Apocrypha. Look
yes, because I was going to research that, because that's all I hear from some people, that they're not the books of the Bible and you shouldn't, you know, follow them. And blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so what does Wikipedia say about it? Apocrypha are biblical or related writings not forming part of the accepted canon or scripture. So the book of Maccabees is the Apocrypha. The book of Giants is the Apocrypha. It doesn't line up totally with everything they've taught you in Genesis and all that kind of stuff. These are reporters, podcasters, if you will. These are podcasters talking about what was going on. You with me? Because you come here right now and you just watch this podcast. And I'm attacking all this stuff that's lies, and you don't know what to do. And all your friends are saying, "Yo, boy, he's a cult. You guys are in a cult. You guys are out of it." And you said, "No, I'm not in a cult. I go to Coach Dave Live because it makes me think. It makes me question. It makes me think." Right? So the Apocrypha, there's a lot of books in the Apocrypha that are not part of the 66 books of the Bible. That's what we're talking about here. Randy.
Coach, 1947, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, boy.
If you study that year, and I have extensively, there's 100 other events that are Luciferian events. And I believe most of them, Coach, was to cancel what actually happened. It was God finally bringing that to truth to the surface here on the earth. And Coach, that's been not even been 80 years.
But I know.
I'm telling you, Coach, when the Christians understand the institutions have canceled a lot of the truth, hidden yeah. it, they're going to be mad. You know, they're going to step out then. This is a motivation here coming.
So, Randy, here's my point.
You're uncovering things. This is good.
I want everybody to understand this. I believe the 66 books of the Bible as God's word. I believe that. But I also believe these extra biblical sources add direction, explanation to what the Bible's teaching us.
Coach, right? Don't we want confirmation?
Yeah, I'm not here
yes,
putting
sir.
Down the Bible.
By
I'm
the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Look, we have the Bible. That's fine. Leave it alone. But when you find the books of Enoch and have been discovered, and now he would be a credible writer, they would yep. be in the Bible.
He is
why
quoted
why
in the
does
Bible.
The institutions not want us to read it? Because mm-hmm. it's going to change their course. It's going to show that they what they're doing is not true, and that's the problem, Coach. Yep. Deception has to keep itself alive.
Oh brother, huh? Again, let me say this. Laura Ann, you're my witness. I believe the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible. But I also read Bible commentaries. Anybody read Bible commentaries out there? I do. I read Bible. Yeah, Chuck Swindoll. Yeah. Any of you read those daily things? Well, that's a commentary on the Bible. That's all that is. And could it be that the Book of Giants is a commentary on the Bible? Could it be the Book of Enoch is a further investigation, an explanation of the Bible? I think it is. I think it is.
Boom.
This is amazing to me. Amazing. Laura Ann, come on in.
Just real quick, like the Book of Susanna was a very real person, I think, with Daniel. And Baruch was Isaiah's scribe, and Randy can probably confirm it or not. But like, these are people that were actually there and they're mentioned. And if Baruch was writing for Isaiah, do you not think he had his own views? Same thing with the gospel.
Is it possible that Baruch did personal commentary on what he'd been seeing? And that's why they say it's, well, that really isn't inspired. Well, no, it isn't inspired. But Baruch's telling us about what was going on, what he's on. That makes sense.
And just like Josephus was a historian then. He was around. He saw it. He was the historian. He's got two books, right, that talk about the history of that period. If you don't understand the context and the history of what was going on, you're not going to understand what exactly they're supposed to be saying. And you got to remember, when the Council of Trent got together, this was King Henry's government-approved men to come together and put this together and write it according to what King Henry wanted them to write. So you got to keep that also in mind.
So Scripture says,
show yourself approved.
Okay, so Laura. All right, cool. Listen, so if I was going to, somebody gave me the Constitution, and I read the Constitution, and I didn't understand the Constitution. Is there a book? Is there anything else that would explain the Constitution to me? Is there an extra constitutional book that you would read? Oh, why? Yeah. And don't we have Supreme Court justices to tell us what the Constitution says? And are they always right in what they tell us the Constitution says? No. That's what their opinion of what the Constitution says. So could the Book of Maccabees be somebody's opinion of what they think? Well, I think so. So how do we determine between opinion and fact? Well, 66 books of the Bible, I believe them. Jesus Christ himself said if all the books were written, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. He said it. He said it. Come on in, Ray.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, bring up John 21:25.
Bring it up, baby. John 21:25. I took the words right out of your mouth.
I got one other thing, though.
Okay. And there are so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that were written. Would be written. Amen. Oh, just Amen. These 66 books. Just these 66 books.
You ever hear the song, The Love of God? Here's just the words from it. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though written stretched from sky to sky. There's so much out there that's truth. Just because it's not in the 66 books don't mean it's not truth. And it's all good.
Ray, then it's okay for me to say, who told you that, Willis?
Amen.
Huh? Where'd you hear that, Willis? Huh? Remember Woody Hayes, 3 yards in a cloud of dust? Huh? Straight T-back field, two tight ends, pack everybody in, kick your butt. Not now. You turn on Ohio State, they got five receivers. They got that shotgun formation. There's more ways football evolves, boys and girls. The fundamentals don't. Still got to block and tackle, but there's a lot of ways to play football. Kevin, come on in.
there's a black pastor by the name of Geno Jennings.
Yeah.
That I started listening to here this last year. And yep. that guy preaches some truth, and he preaches from the books of the Apocrypha. Yep. And he frequently talks about the book of Ecclesiasticus. Uh-huh. And that's he is a pastor that adamantly preaches pastors are not to be paid. Paid pastors are hirelings. Right. They are false prophets.
Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Look, I got some other stuff I want to get in here real quickly, okay? Let me do this real quick, because these are all good. These are all good. Let me see. Okay, Rochelle, quickly while I'm looking here. Get number five ready, Spencer. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. If you want, I would like to share a page where someone has put together all of the references where Jesus and the apostles quoted from the book of Enoch.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Okay, I'll send that and you can take a look. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michelle. Okay, so look at this, folks. Again, information. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you to take that shot? Who told you that? Look at this, folks. Our two autopsy studies show mandate an immediate FDA claim. We have confirmed a casual link between COVID shots and death. 73% of total deaths were due to the shots. 100% of myocarditis deaths were caused by the shot. Now, wait a minute. Who's writing the Bible today of COVID? Who's writing that COVID Bible for us today? Primary causes of death. Sudden cardiac death, 35% of people died from a heart attack. Pulmonary embolism, same thing, blood clot. Myocardial infarction, same thing. All of those are heart-related. Vaccine-induced thrombotic, that's another heart disease. Myocarditis, heart. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome, cerebral hemorrhage. There it is. There it is. Science says it, I believe it, that's settled. This is the same people told you to take the shot, isn't it? Same one? I'm pretty sure. One other thing I want to get up there. I want to kind of end on a light note. Let me get this in here. Pull up Tim Hawkins. Where is he? Number three. Huh? Tim Hawkins. This is old. Tim Hawkins on Cracker Barrel. Folks, look. The whole attempt is to do away with the white evangelical hillbilly Christian. I'm telling you. If you think this is just a decision by Cracker Barrel people, owners, board members, you're so wrong. You are so wrong. They wanted to get that cracker out of there because who is the cracker? Oh, yeah, that's the same guys in this the Civil War, those crackers down there. Remember those crackers? You white evangelical Protestant crackers. Don't miss it. This is funny, though. Go ahead, Tim Hawkins.
I love going down south to eat, man. Down south, they have some good restaurants like this Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Oh, down south, man, they're like, oh, we're going to take you to the barrel, Timbo. We're going to treat you right at the barrel. Y'all have Cracker Barrel here. It's not that great, is it? No, it's not. It's like you're eating at a garage sale, for crying out loud. There's stuff hanging all over the walls. Rusty farm equipment over your head. Hey, can we get a table not directly under the horse castrator? That's a thin thread right there. I need some more golf tees for this triangular game. I'm trying. All six left. I'm an ignoramus. The Cracker Barrel. They don't have omelets at the Cracker Barrel. Supposed to be this breakfast place. I'm like, y'all ain't got no omelet. No, we ain't got no omelet. That was my waitress. We ain't got no omelet. She wasn't even chewing gum. I don't know what. Like, you ain't got omelets now. What you see is what you get. You all got some eggs? Yeah, we got eggs. You got some peppers and sausage and mushrooms? Yeah. Think you can think outside the box for a little bit, Eric? Sure, we can work something out here, kitty. Draw you a schematic if I have to. All right. I love Southern waitresses at the Cracker Barrel, man. It's like, I'm just trying to order food. I don't know what she's talking about. You know? I'm like, how are the biscuits and gravy? Oh, they make you want to slap your mama.
Then I don't think I'm going to get the biscuits and gravy. Being my mama's here and all, that would be kind of awkward.
How are the pancakes? Oh, they make me want to hit your daddy with a baseball bat. Do you have a less violent menu I could take a look at? I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want some food. That's what she said verbatim. Oh, they make you want to slap your mama. Are the biscuits that good? You're like...
Mama, you might want to go out in the car for a while. Yeah, a couple more bites, I'm going to have to throw down. You know what I'm talking about? These are delicious. Don't say I didn't warn you.
It's an assault on American Christianity. Jeff Klein, quickly, come on in.
Coach, you ever heard of that Robbie Starbuck? There's a podcast. Yes. My goodness, he nailed it yesterday on what they're doing the last 20 years, not the last year or two, 20 years of what they've done at Cracker Barrel, DEI and wokeness, all that. No, I mean, it was amazing.
Amen. Hey, Jeff, how often have I said the wars against the white evangelical Protestant Christian? I don't know how we make it any more clear. They're trying to do everything they can to destroy our traditions. They take our children, we put them in the government schools with the name of Jesus as never mentioned. The most famous, influential, historical person in the history of the world. That history is not taught to our children. That's by design, friends. By design. And we still don't get it. We still don't get it. And we, instead of us, that's why I love this group here, staking, keep staking, keep staking, keep putting those rocks out there, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, because unless we wake up, those of us, the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation, sons of God. We look at this mess around us, they're waiting for us to show up, folks. They're waiting for us to show up. And instead, we're being taught to eat meat and retreat. We don't want to get involved. We're not of the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But Jesus said, go teach them to observe everything. Well, yeah, yeah, but that was before it got dark and we're at the end times now. If Jesus was here, he wouldn't be doing that. He wouldn't be out. No. He'd be holding healing sessions at your church. That's what he'd be doing. He'd be doing that. He wouldn't be taking on the government. No. He wouldn't be doing that. He wouldn't be doing that. Oh, boy. What a wake-up call. What a time to be alive. I could keep going here, but I'd just be stretching it out. Running out of stuff to say. See you tomorrow.